Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. Delighted to have this partnership with Renaissance Bank and to be located inside their facility in beautiful Alpharetta, Georgia. We've got two great guests today. I want to welcome Sonia Smith from Photopia and Sally Boyles from Right Lady Inc. And that's W-R-I-T-E, Lady Inc., right? So, but before we get to our two great guests today, I want to remind you folks that if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, presentations, well, I've got an answer for you. Go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline, they lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us. Or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. We turn now to Sonia Smith, and Sonia is with Photopia. Sonia, welcome.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you here. Now, you gave me the lowdown on how to pronounce your company name, and it's a great way to describe what you do. I love it. Tell everybody about that.
Well, our company name is Photopia, and we are the place where documents go to live out their existence blissfully.
A utopia for documents, right?
Absolutely, a utopia for documents.
Excellent, excellent. So beyond that tagline, which I love, talk a little bit about your company and what it is you do.
Okay. Well, my name is, as you said, John, is Sonja Smith, and I oversee direct sales and partner relations for Photopia. We are a Microsoft solutions provider for SharePoint and Office 365. So first, I'm not going to try to convince you that I have some great love for enterprise content management, right? Because I don't. But I do have a love for technology that empowers organizations and improves people and processes. And that's exactly what our software applications do. Now, a little bit about me and how I came to be with Photopia. Right after the Marine Corps, I started working for AT&T in Massachusetts. And I transferred with them to Kansas City, did a lot of work with them with communications and back office administration. But here more recently, I worked with BlackBerry during their transition from a phone company to a software company. And prior to Photopia, I was with Xerox. Now, everybody knows Xerox, formerly known as the paper company, right?
Right, right.
Well, it was there in other places that I was able to see the real challenges that companies still have managing and accessing their information. So because I was privy to that information, when Photopia approached me with this wonderful, amazing opportunity, and I saw their solution for SharePoint, I was 100% on board.
Okay, well, now let's back up for a second, because you're going to have to help me understand something. Okay. What is enterprise content management?
What is enterprise content management? You know, that is kind of the question of the day. In 2017, Gartner renamed and redefined enterprise content management to content services. And I understand why, right? Originally, ECM was meant to be this all-encompassing solution that dealt with document management. So you were able to control, capture, collaborate, compliance. And it was believed that one system could, in return, provide a holistic solution for all of this. And we know now that that's simply not the case, really, if it ever was, right? So SharePoint and Office 365, they were built with this new definition in mind because it was designed with gaps. And these gaps allow for companies to better customize their content solutions based on what their most pressing needs are. Photopia, in comes Photopia. We got over 20 years of providing ECM solutions for organizations around the world. And being aware of these gaps, we were able to work with SharePoint experts and design three software applications that sit on top of SharePoint to fill those gaps with tools that companies can utilize right now today in their business. So whether it's managing large amounts of transactional data, such as invoices and employee files or internal team collaboration with editing, stamping, and redacting data, we can help.
Cool. So for those that don't know what SharePoint is, explain that.
Well, SharePoint is a solution that allows you to manage your documents, right? So it's going to allow you to be able to create, prepare, manage. It's a file repository. You are able to remain compliant. So there are lots of things that SharePoint can bring to the table for document management solutions. But as I said, the way that Microsoft designed it was with these gaps in place. So that SharePoint, you know, it's not trying to be a holistic solution for everything. It's going to enable you to customize.
Yeah, and I was going to say, that's a Microsoft product. And some folks may not be aware of that, although it's obviously getting a lot more usage now.
Oh, yes. I mean, SharePoint's been around now for about 20 years. And at first, you know, it had a lot of hiccups like everything else when it comes out the gate. But now it's, I believe, the most solid and modern platform for organizations to grow their business in terms of content management.
Got it. So, Sonia, talk a little bit about your ideal customer, what that customer looks like, how you help them.
Well, like we said, our ideal customer are customers who are currently using or migrating to SharePoint or Office 365 because they want to be able to manage their documents better. And I think I can help you visualize the two scenarios and types of pain that our customers have and how we solve it, right? So imagine that you have your business. In your business, you created a document 5-10 years ago. And today, it's absolutely necessary that you locate that document. You need it for whatever reasons, be it legalities, business continuity, but you're under a time crunch. Now, worst case scenario, that document is in a box up against the wall, or it's in some storage facility down the street, and I just want to say, good luck with that.
Good luck digging for that, right?
Good luck digging for that.
Right.
People and time and resources that you're going to need to utilize to find that work, to find that information. And the second case scenario is, even if it is in a digital document, your search engine may not be robust enough to group those specific words together that you need to locate that document. So you know that you're looking for the word hoot and Dale Sizemore, right? You know, if you find that in that document, you've got the information that you need.
I know where Dale Sizemore is now.
And he's a hoot. So.
Yeah, he is a hoot. Those two terms go together. But anyway, we digress.
We did. But if you are able to group those informations together, you can find those documents. And unfortunately, this is the state of many organizations who work with large amounts of data, be it contractual or transactional. They simply can't find it when they need it. And it's a fundamental problem. There is a big risk in paper, whether it's the regulations that comes to compliance. Right now, what we've seen with enterprise search is that it's talked about almost as much as cybersecurity, right? 70 to 80% of corporations' information is unstructured, therefore it's unsearchable. It's either in a box or it's not in a place, or they're not able to get to it.
Hold it. Now, you said 70 to 80%? Is that what you said?
According to AIM,
70
to 80%. I know.
That's striking.
Isn't it?
Because it's not unusual that you would have to go back. The scenario you talked about, a document that's 10 years old or more, that's not an unusual search.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So that's not fairly common. So the fact that seven or eight times out of 10, you can't find that document, that's striking.
And it's not that you can't find it. It's that it may be such a laborious process, and the resources and time that you're going to have to utilize to find that document, it's not efficient, it's not productive for the organization.
Gotcha.
So that's where the cost and things go up, morale and motivation for your team goes down, because they have to do this.
Sure. Folks, we're speaking with Sonia Smith, and she's with Photopia. Photopia being the utopia for documents. I still love that. I'm sorry. I like that. So you were talking about how you deal with, this sounds like a big company solution, but you said that you certainly deal with major companies, but you also deal with small and medium-sized companies as well.
Absolutely, John. This is a product for small to medium enterprises as well as large companies, because it's about having, if you're trying to manage a lot of documents. So small to medium enterprises have the same needs that larger companies have when it comes to managing their documents, being able to locate their documents, storing it, being able to collaborate internally with their teams, be their teams internal or external, being able to edit, make redactions, come in on information. They still have those needs as well. So this solution fits companies of all sizes.
Gotcha. So I love what you're saying to me. I want to implement this. How do I do it? It sounds pretty laborious. Is this like a rip and replace kind of situation that I'm in, or is there something a little more incremental that you're going to offer me in terms of getting up to speed?
Well, the ECM solutions for yesterday would absolutely mean that this was a rip and replace, right? However, as we stated, our reality today this is just not the case, and why an incremental solution is most effective for customizing the best solution for your organization to solve your most pressing and immediate need, and it's also the best way from a budgetary standpoint as well. This is an operating expense that you can use, and most times, you know, it can be $5,000 or under $10,000 that we can come in there and bring you a solid solution for your needs.
Excellent. Outstanding. We're speaking with Sonia Smith, and she's with Photopia. She's director of sales with Photopia. So how does the process work? I mean, I've got a document management problem. How do I bring you in, and how do you assess that problem in terms of looking at what I've got?
Well, there are many ways, two very succinct ways for you to reach out and contact us. We have direct sales.
Well, before we get to that, though, I'm not talking about really contact. I'm talking about how we engage in the process of implementing your solution. That's what I'm asking.
Well, how we engage in that is we would first off have a discovery call.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
Where I would come out with my technical engineer, and we would get a solid understanding of what it is that you're trying to accomplish, what your business needs are, what's current in your environment right now, and what you're looking to do with that environment. So what are your objectives? What are you trying to accomplish, or what do you need to accomplish for your business? So once we have a solid understanding of your business, and not just your business today, but your business 2, 3, 5 years from now, where you want to go with that, then we can start designing a solution for you that's going to help get you to where you need to be.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So now let's talk about for folks that want to be in touch
how do they
get in touch with you, Sonia?
Well, you can get a hold of us two different ways, right? You can go onto our website, photopiatech.com, sign up for a free trial, or just reach out to us directly at our offices here in Alpharetta in Atlanta. Or you can go through one of our partners. So we are looking for partners here. We're looking for companies, you know, our solutions will fit their portfolio and add value for their customers. And we're looking to share our experiences and connect where we can provide the most benefit.
What now, you're looking for company partnerships. What kind of companies would those be?
Those companies would be SharePoint consultants, any company that's working directly with SharePoint, be it helping companies to migrate from legacy devices onto SharePoint, or just helping them to implement new SharePoint environments into their organizations.
Excellent. Okay. Great. So contact information, would you like to, or website information, would you like to provide that for our folks?
Absolutely. Go onto our website at photopiatech.com. And you can also reach out to me directly on our direct number here. My cell number, I'll even give you my cell number, 954-709-7333. Or go on to Business X website. It's going to have our contact information. It's going to be there as well.
And you preempted me. I love that. You're exactly right. We'll have it on the show notes. I love it, Sonia. It sounds great. Sonia Smith, she's the director of sales with Photopia. Thanks for being with us.
John, thanks so much for having me. Truly glad to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. So we now turn to Sally Boyles. Sally is with Right Lady, Inc., and Sally wanted me to make sure I spell that. W-R-I-T-E. I'm having a spelling test here today that I didn't know I was going to have, Sally.
That is true. You can consider me right versus wrong, but yeah. Look for me under write like you're going to write with a pen.
I love it. Okay. Right lady. So you're obviously a writer.
I am.
Tell everybody about yourself.
Well, I freelance through my company, Right Lady, and I own it. And the freelance gives me the freedom to work with all different types of clients and having all different types of projects because they have in different backgrounds, and so they have all different types of content needs. Most do come to me with professional, business, organizational goals in mind. And in that mix are agencies like creative agencies, web developers, consultants who have clients who have a need for content. But individuals also approach me with their personal projects, and some of those personal projects become business projects, like a book that becomes a side career. So.
Yeah, excellent. So what type of clients, you mentioned business writing, but that's a big term. Business is a big term. What specific kind of clients do you work with?
Well, as I said, professionals, people in the legal industry, financial, real estate, the gamut, health services, and then other areas have ranged from janitorial products to artists to, people in consulting. So it really is anyone who would have a content need.
And it sounds like, given the variety of verticals that you described, everybody has a content need.
Yes.
In some form or fashion.
That's true. But one thing my clients all have in common, they appreciate the power of words, and they understand that the right words presented in the right fashion can launch an objective and send it soaring past the goalpost. But the wrong message or just the wrong tone of a message can do the opposite. So they appreciate the message.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk a little bit about the way you work with a client, because I'm sure there are clients that come to you and they've got specific ideas on what they want to have, but you've really got a consultative role that happens before you get into putting words on paper, right?
I do, and it's important to people think of a writer often as someone in her own little lonely corner typing away and losing all track of time and space. And I can be that person. You can ask my husband if he's ever called my name and I completely didn't hear him. But I also have to be able to talk to people. I do a lot of interviews. I write for magazines and I interview people in businesses and I interview their clients and their connections. And so I have to be able to make people feel comfortable. I'm not an I gotcha kind of person. It's always for the benefit of my clients, so I'm going to write positive content. But even if I write an article, if somebody says this is off the record, it is off the record. So it's important to be able to talk to people and be able to listen to them when they tell me that, oh, where did you get that? I love the way you said that. And I'll say, oh, well, you gave me those words. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's also having a business understanding. And so even if I am brand new to that industry, it's being able to pick up on things that I have, insights that I've gained from working with lots of different types of clients and offering them and knowing how to ask the right questions.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to go there, Sally. So you have to be a generalist and really, but then you have to go when someone comes to you and they've got a specific industry they work in, then all of a sudden you have to dig deep. And I'm curious how you go through that, how you become an expert and write like an expert when you're really a generalist.
Well, I say I get to learn a little bit about a lot of things.
Right.
And that is true.
Yeah.
I am inquisitive. My mother used to say, you should be a lawyer because you ask a lot of questions. So we get back to the question thing. Mm-hmm. But it is important to know how to break it down. And one thing I always look for is a story behind the story. So I'm wondering, it might sound like it's extra, but why is that person in this endeavor? What are those person's experiences? Or the organization too, but what has inspired them? What have they learned? What do they want to teach? How do they endeavor to inspire, motivate others? All of that is important. And understanding where you want to go, I always say, what is the last place you want to be? Well, where do you want to end up? And you have to know that to know where you need to start and how all that information needs to flow from step to the end.
Sure. Sure. So you mentioned lots of different content types.
Yes.
Talk about that piece of it and you know, what the types of content you produce. Let's just review that and then, you know, what your the requirements of that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read from a list so that I don't say, but books, articles, advertisements, taglines, brochures, signage, presentations, scripts, voiceovers, press releases, sales letters, newsletters, cover letters, resumes, proposals, case studies, white papers, how-tos, tributes, professional bios.
You need to come up with a longer list.
I know, and I don't want to overwhelm people, but you know, you can think about investing in good content makes a lot of sense because think about your website. You have a homepage, maybe, you know, websites are designed a little differently, but you still have a certain flow. So you have an introduction, maybe a tagline. I always say, would you wear it on a t-shirt? But you can use that information from your homepage, maybe for signage at a trade show or to be the cover of your brochure. And then you might have professional bios. Well, how many times do you go to speak and people need to introduce you? Hmm. Well, here's your bio, or here's the bio that can go into the event literature. But John, I'm sure you've had times when you've handed over your bio and you know that the person introducing you has never read it before.
Right.
And are your words easy to read? Are people tripping over them?
Hmm.
So thinking about elements like that, or good service descriptions, overviews, or product descriptions might pull out beautifully into a proposal. And then maybe you have a blog with articles. So that information can be used for speaking. And just think about when you're investing in good content, it has multi-purposes. And so the value is extended many times over.
Yeah, so this gets back again to the consultative role that you play. I mean, this is not just, hey, Sally, go write me a few blog posts. This is creating a message that goes across different platforms.
That's important. And it's also important sometimes for my clients to learn they need to me. And I had a client.
You have a problem with clients listening?
Sometimes they.
I'm shocked to hear this.
Sometimes I get to say, I told you so.
Right.
I was working with, and I've on and off with a counselor. He does relationship counseling, and he wanted to write a book. And the book contained scenarios about, it was a journey of improving your relationship. So the book it contained examples of a couple going through the relationship struggle, and they were true examples. But I would get through those scenarios and want to pull my hair out because I didn't want to know any more about that couple. It just went, they went on and on and on. So I'd cut the scenarios by 75%, send it back to the client, and he would say, oh, great. But then he'd send it back to me, adding the content back again. In the end, the book was a compromise because he just couldn't, he was so married to his content, he couldn't let go of it. And about a year and a half to 2 years later, he came back to me, well, you were right, the book is too long. And yes, Glenn's book would be a great thing to weight down on a tiny house if you had a tornado coming along.
Ah.
It was too overwhelming, so we started over again.
Hmm.
But he had to go through that. Some people listen at the beginning, and some people just have to go through the pain.
Folks, listen to Sally Boyles before you start writing. She's the Write Lady, W-R-I-T-E, Lady, Inc. And that's who we're speaking with. Love what you're saying about this, Sally. So talk about expectations. I mean, I'm a business or an individual working with a professional writer like you. You know, what's reasonable to ask? How do I work with you?
Well, most of my clients come to me through solid referrals. Not all. Some find me through social media and through more casual references. But never be shy about asking your writer for references. You have to think that this is someone who may be receiving sensitive information from you, even confidential information. You don't want that going all over town. And you want to know that the person is going to follow through on commitments. Okay, so you have this deadline. Is your writer says she's going to do it? Well, make sure that she's the kind of person who's going to follow through. Is she someone that you would feel comfortable placing in front of maybe your clients because she's going to get testimonials or something else from them, other information, or through go through your office and interview a bunch of people? Those are all important. So along with that, I would say ask for a non-disclosure agreement. Ask for referrals. Ask for samples of work. You might be able to ask for a non-compete, but that has to make sense. I mean, if you're one of a million fish in a sea, you can't say, oh, I don't ever want you to write for any attorneys ever again.
Right.
You better be offering a lucrative contract for that.
Sure.
But also understand your expectations, the things that you need to manage. You can't hand over material at, you know, 11:59 the p.m. the day before your deadline and expect your writer to make the deadline. And also understand that a wonderful set of articles for your blog might speak to your audience, and they might, or your clients might be thrilled to have them, and prospects might say thank you so much. But if you don't send anybody to the party and you have these blogs on your website and you haven't invited anybody to go look at them, you haven't promoted them on social media or maybe even used a newsletter distribution to invite people to read, they're not going to go anywhere. Same sure. thing with the book. It can be on Amazon and look all shiny and new, but it's not one of those you build it and they will come kind of situation. You have to do the promotion behind the scenes and in front of the scenes and everywhere else.
Makes a lot of sense. So, you know, we read about that writing a book is really important to establish your authority, your personal brand, depending on what area of expertise that you have. Address that. I mean, what for folks that are out there, you know, they're in professional services thinking about writing a book, what should they consider on that?
Well, they want to know what their end goal is, because everyone has a story. And I have found that to be so true. And it's not necessarily the people on the big screen or doing a lot of crazy things on social media. It could be your next door neighbor, or the colleague that you work with all the time, or even somebody in your family. So I don't want to take away from the fact that the person has the story, but a lot of work goes into it. You know, the old-fashioned outline that your English teacher told you to write back in high school does apply. At least it can give you some kind of guideline for where you want to go. And collecting information, having it in a format that you can transfer to a written document might not always flow. You might say, oh, I have all these great presentations, but the conversation and the content that you speak may not transfer so well to a book. So you want to have a format for making sure everything flows. And I would just say have a plan for it. If you're, as I mentioned, you can post it on Amazon, but if you're not arranging speaking engagements, if you're not going to promote it, then it's not going to go anywhere. Now, you could also have a book that you just give away. It's part of your, to enhance your professional know-how, and that would be fine too, but just have realistic expectations for it. Most people put a lot of effort in getting the book together, and the message is good, but then when they send people to read it, can you get through the first paragraph?
Mm.
And the typos, and having that professional look at the work and review it is essential. You might need someone to put commas in the right place and check on typos and spelling, but you might need a deep down edit. And if five people are telling you you do, you probably do.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see how that would be a big problem. I mean, it's like a lot of things. People hear the term self-publishing and they think that means doing it yourself across the board, and that could be a really unwise strategy.
Ken, I had someone approached me through another client not so long ago, about a year and a half ago, and his idea was good. He had some issues with his manuscript, and I told them. I told him what they were, and he had too much ego in it. And in an abrupt departure, we departed from one another. He lives in California, so we weren't face-to-face, but the phone call ended pretty abruptly. Mm. He was a little rude because he just had just too much ego in the work. About a year and a half later, he came back to me with an email. I know if you'll never want to have anything to do with me again, I completely understand this, but I really need your help. Several people have told me the same thing. And so he turned over his manuscript to me, and it was he needed a lot of help, but I'm still waiting for his response. It was just about a week ago, so I think he's settling on it.
Gotcha. Well, it sounds like he had quite a epiphany along the way, and a lot of people don't, so kudos to him for getting there.
Exactly.
So, Sally, we could talk for quite a while. Love what you do and your message, but for those that want to be in touch, would like more information, how do they do that?
An easy way is through my website, which is, again, WRITELady.com. And connect with me through LinkedIn, too. That would be Sally, S-A-L-L-I-E. My mother thought that was pretty.
Yes.
The I-E.
Yeah.
And Boyles, B-O-Y-L-E-S. And I welcome your inquiries.
Excellent. Sally Boyles, Right Lady, Inc. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John.
Absolutely. So, folks, I want to remind you that we are broadcasting again from our new studio inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta, and we appreciate the partnership with Renaissance Bank. We've got Ken Davis, who is the head of the North Georgia operation for Renaissance. He's going to be on a future show, and we'll tell you more about what that partnership looks like and all the great things that Renaissance Bank is doing in the world of business, and we're excited about that. Also, would like to point you to NorthFultonBusinessRadioX.com if you want to join us there on our website. We just celebrated our 3-year anniversary as a studio, and we've got wide range of interviews across a wide swath of the North Fulton business community. So join us there. Check us out on our website. That does it for today. I want to thank our guest, Sonia Smith with Photopia and Sally Boyles with Right Lady. Thanks for being with us. I'm John Ray, your host. Join us next time for another edition of North Fulton Business Radio.